Flaming Lips are our guest today. More specifically, we will chat with Mr. Wayne Coyne, the band's creative center, who we'll talk to from his home in Oklahoma City. The band has a history of innovation over 30 years, and today we explore a bit of where that comes from. Wayne recently also made a record with controversial television and music star Miley Cyrus as well. Most specifically today, we'll hear music and talk about Flaming Lips' latest album, Oxymelody. Here is a bit of the title track. Oxymelody from the new album from Flaming Lips. I asked Wayne Coyne how that first song jump-started his creativity.
The piece of music that intrigued us the most is the track that ends up being the first track on the album, and it's actually called Oxymelody. And this was just something that happened one night while we were jamming. And I say jamming. I think it was just Steven and I. And we just got locked into this very relaxing, hypnotic, vibey. We use that word vibe a lot. You know, vibey kind of thing. And as it went by, we both were kind of like, what is that? And our initial reaction when something really sounds great is that must be somebody else's song, because that's really great. And, you know, and in time, we'd discover like, oh, that's not somebody else's song. So, it kept intriguing us. And I remember playing it really 3 or 4 months after that and still being like, oh, this is cool. And we would try to make other pieces have that same thing to it. And that's not always a good thing, you're not always able to do that. But, you know, we ended up having, you know, 2 or 3 other things that started to have that kind of thing. And then you start thinking, maybe we're making an album.
We're talking with Wayne Coyne from Flaming Lips, and Wayne, the track on the album, I believe, is the one that follows the one you were talking about, Oxymelody, is a track called How, and you guys recorded a live version of that for us. Is it important? I mean, obviously, sequencing is important to you guys a lot on an album.
Well, I mean, you know, when I listen to other people's music, even classic records from Beatles records or Miles Davis or something, you know, nowadays I'm sometimes going right to a song. I don't really have that. It doesn't matter to me whether it's the first song or the last song. But when you're making an album, you know, you do a lot of considering of what would be the first track. And so this lyric that opens up this album, I mean, the very first track on the album is an instrumental, and the very first thing you hear is of me singing is this very strange, well, maybe some people won't think it's strange, but to me it's a strange lyric to say in the setting that the music has kind of set up for you in this song, How. And I think this song, when we were making it, it was already, without any lyrics, already so evocative. And sometimes I think lyrics can really add a character into the song, an unexpected character that wouldn't be there. I'm not using the lyrics to tell you what the song is about. The song and the music and the melodies and the production that we've used, I feel like it's already telling you everything about the scenario. And then I just get to be a character in there saying these absurd things. And so the very first lyric is still, when I hear it, it's so fun to sing, because I can almost see it swimming around in people's minds and touching these different unexpected parts.
This is How.
Thank you.
Recorded for us by Flaming Lips. We're getting a chance to talk with Wayne Coyne about making this album. What was the emotional center of the castle for you when you wrote it?
Well, I don't want to get too personal about it, but there was a friend of ours whose sister that we knew fairly well had committed suicide. And I think it was probably, if not the day that I'd heard the news, you know, the next day or right around there. And we had been working in the studio doing some, I forget what, but it probably a song connected to the new record. And everybody had kind of left early that night. And I was just messing around with a little bit of this. You know, with songs and art in general, you know, there's a sense of, oh, this is sad, but this has kind of a silver lining, or we'll see the light of you know, something on this, you know. And at the time when I was writing it, it just didn't seem that way, you know. It seemed that this was sad, and it wasn't going to, you know, resolve itself, and years from now we would all say, oh, well, you know, this all worked out. It was just a very sad, you know, unfixable thing. And when you go to write songs, sometimes I think you just want to say that within the song. And I think I got that out of my system into the song, but it was boring. You know, it's funny that that's not always what songs are doing. You know, songs are kind of have to be like stories. You know, I can't just tell you the bad ending. You know, I kind of have to lead you along the way to make you interested. Making it into a song that didn't necessarily have to be sad every second of the way, I think made it so much better. And so when I stumbled upon the line, in that very first night, the very sad line of the castle can never be rebuilt again. You know, in a sense, using the metaphor of the castle and her life and all that. That, I thought, okay, I think that could work. But then I think later people would hear it without knowing what I meant by the castle. And they would think, well, why don't you add some dragons and some some things in there with this castle being in there? And I thought, what a great idea. You know, instead of taking it and thinking, oh, you know, that's missing the serious, poignant turn in there. And I started to do that. So the very first line of the song, you know, her eyes were butterflies, her smile was a rainbow. You know, that's a pretty romantic, you know, silly line. And I thought, okay, that helps it a lot.
Well, tell you what, we have a live version of the castle, and I thought we would play that after that great conversation about it. This is the castle from our guest, Flaming Lips.
So can never
That is The Castle, one I'm sure you have heard from Oxy Melody, the new album from Flaming Lips. And we're talking about it with Wayne Coyne. I'd like to talk a little bit about you growing up, pre-Flaming Lips. I think there was a time when there was no Flaming Lips.
What, that'd be BFL. Yeah, BFL, that'd be BFL.
BFL. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would be better.
Yeah, I got you, yeah.
growing up, BFL, what set you on a creative path as a kid? Do you remember?
Well, I mean, growing up, I was born in 1961. So, you know, growing up through the 60s and through the 70s, I have these, you know, older brothers and an older sister, and they had always had tons of friends and doing tons of drugs and just living an insane life. And, you know, living in this house with a big, big chaotic family, not chaotic in a bad way, but just a lot of, you know, there's always a lot going on. I would draw pictures and paint in the corner. My older brothers did a little bit of drawing. I think I probably got that from them. You know, when you're really little, you want to be like your older brother. So when I was, you know, I remember being in the first grade and just wanting to draw all the time. And so I think somehow isolating myself or being able to be isolated, even if it's just within my own mind, in this very crazy household, is probably what I'm still doing today. The idea of being simply a painter or you know, that type of artist where you're kind of in the corner by yourself and it's quiet and there's nothing going on, I just don't think that appealed to me after a while. So I think the idea of being an artist and being in the chaos at the same time, that probably is what made me want to be in something like the Flaming Lips. Steven, the other main songwriter in the group, is the same way. Came from a big family, big, not chaotic in a bad way, but, you know, like I said, a lot, just always a lot going on. So I think we have a lot in common in that way. And so that probably set me up to be able to tolerate or to be drawn to this big, chaotic, you know, creative family that now is the Flaming Lips.
Huh. It's funny. There are unicorns on this album. So I was going to ask you about it. Were you into, you know, fantasy and that kind of thing? But that seems more like a solitary thing.
Well, I mean, that type of fantasy, I think, previous to this album, probably would not have been something that we would have embraced. Mm-hmm. But there is probably some influence of Miley Cyrus in there, where everything that we would do with her, you know, there would just be a sense of like, this is so absurd that nothing seems absurd anymore. You know, it's, you're so immersed in a world of weirdness and newness and unexpectedness that by time we still are making music with her and hopefully, you know, always will. But by the time we got done with making that record with her, I think we had come out of it slightly changed about the perceptions we had about, you know, what the Flaming Lips could even be about. You know, there's some bit of the storytelling that isn't really about unicorns and fantasy, and a lot of it, I think, you kind of have to hope that it's working on a sort of a subconscious level. You know, that you're kind of, a lot of times I sort of feel like I'm not actually sleepwalking, but there's a sense of sleepwalking, like, well, I like this and I like that, and you try not to have a reason or question too much of everything you do. Otherwise, you know, you do kind of just fall over on yourself being too self-conscious of it.
You know, that was probably a good juncture for this question. Earlier on in the band's career, was there a conscious worrying about, oh, is this a cool thing to do? Because
yes.
Really? There was? Yeah.
I mean, I think every young person, especially if you're in a band too, you know, just absolutely struggles with that. And I think that's why drugs and alcohol and anything that lets you be free of that for even just a moment are so welcomed by people. I, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really do any of that for that reason, you know. And there would be moments when we would be so confident and so, you know, believing in what we were doing that we would, and I think it's because we kind of would be isolated. We wouldn't be surrounded by too many you know, too many hipsters or too many music industry people, you know, being in Oklahoma City. And I think even making our very first record, I mean, we thought we were, you know, really, really cool for a little while when we were making it. And then as soon as you make it, you're kind of embarrassed again. You're like, oh, my God, it's you know, we're just not very cool. But that, I think everybody struggles with that. And, you know, we struggle with that even now. You know, there are always these bursts of, you know, you do feel very, you know, original or whatever. And but that only lasts for a moment. And I think it's the same for everybody. I mean, even being around Miley Cyrus, someone that you think would absolutely just be, I own the world. I'm going to do whatever I want. You know, that's just a moment. And then the next moment, you know, you're saying, oh, geez, you know, does that work? Is anybody going to care? And is anybody going to care as much as do we think we care now? Now that that blissful, you know, explosion is over, now do we care? And that is always the struggle. And, you know, if my solution to that is just to just keep going, you know, just do another song and just keep going and keep going. And you do in time get some perspective on it that isn't so crippling to your, you know, to your psyche, you know.
Well, do you look back at all? I mean, what if you were to put on one of the albums from the 80s? What would you, how do you feel about those?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the very, very oldest stuff, even now, I hear it and I don't quite recognize it as us. And I'm always in my mind, I'm saying, this is great. Who is this? I've never, is this group playing this music? This is so insane. And then someone say, dude, that, you know, that's you. Don't you remember? And I'd say, you know, you don't really remember. And I think why music haunts you, you know, why your creations haunt you is because you remember your state of mind and how you got there and what, you know, you're not surprised by it or anything. And so when our music gets to be about 6 or 7 years old, you know, I think part of me starts to not remember exactly how it got the way it got. And so that would be a lot of our music.
Well, let's not get too far away from those unicorns. Let's hear a live version of There Should Be Unicorns from the new Oxy Melody album. This is Flaming Lips live on the World Cafe.
Thank you.
There Should Be Unicorns, Wayne Coyne, and Flaming Lips from a live recording for us here on the Cafe. As always, a delight to chat with you. Thanks a lot for being here.
Well, you were great, too. You really had a lot of insight into that record, so thanks for being so thorough.
Flaming Lips, our guests, and we'll be back here in a moment on the World Cafe.